Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Our mission is to equip you in truth with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment as a foundation for experiencing the authentic Christian life through fellowship with God and Christ. To join us on air with your question or testimony of the life-changing love of the Lord Jesus Christ, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks, Randy, and we kick off today's broadcast with a quote of the day. It is by Bertrand Russell, and from the History of Western Philosophy. Now, I found this quote in Oz Guinness's book, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, the book available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. This book is not only important for you and your family to become familiar with, but it is a great book to give as a Christmas present this year. It's one of those books that is absolutely must reading. Anyway, the quote of the day by Bertrand Russell, who said, "What had happened in the great age of Greece happened again in Renaissance Italy. Traditional moral restraints disappeared because they were seen to be associated with superstition. The liberation from fetters made individuals energetic and creative, producing a rare fluorescence of genius. But the anarchy and treachery which inevitably resulted from the decay of morals made Italians collectively impotent, and they fell, like the Greeks, under the domination of nations less civilized than themselves, but not so destitute of social cohesion." Now, in the interest of full disclosure, let me say that Bertrand Russell was among the most acclaimed philosophers of the 20th century, but he was a notorious atheist. He was the author of Why I'm Not a Christian, winner of the Nobel Prize in Literature. And my point is that even Russell, who did not have a foundation in objective morality, gets it. And if that is so, so should you. Again, the book available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. I cannot believe how quickly we are approaching the time when we celebrate in earnest the first Advent of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Advent, of course, literally means coming. And as such, Advent is a season in which the Christian church celebrates the coming in flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The glory of Advent is a glory that finds its genesis in the Old Testament prophecies that point forward to the coming incarnation of Jesus Christ. And we can, through those prophecies, know that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Moses' prophecy, for example, that God would raise up a prophet like him from among the Israelites. This is a typological prophecy which points forward to the prophet Jesus Christ. And within the context of the Old Testament, the prophecy that God would raise up another prophet like Moses was fulfilled in the forefuture in Joshua, who led the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, in addition to the near future fulfillment in Joshua, that is a prophecy that came to be understood as pointing forward as well, pointing forward to an eschatological prophet who would lead the people of God, the children of God, the sons and daughters of God, as a new Moses, as a new Joshua. Joshua, of course, meaning salvation. And as Joshua was the leader of the children of Israel into the land of promise, so Jesus will lead his people into a new Jerusalem, a Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. If you look at the New Testament, you find Stephen implicitly identifying Jesus as the ultimate, the quintessential fulfillment of this prophecy. Remember, this was in an impassioned sermon just before he suffered martyrdom. Moses' prophecy, its near future fulfillment in Joshua. They serve as types of the great prophet of God who not only spoke the words of God, but was himself the Word made flesh. Ah, the beauty of the gospel. The beauty is that Abraham, the father of many nations, and that's exactly what Abraham means, he was promised a royal seed. That royal seed, of course, Jesus Christ. But if you continue reading on, the Apostle Paul explains that all who are clothed in Christ, we all constitute one congruent, chosen, covenant community connected by the cross. A lot of C's, but that's my way of remembering. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and you are an heir according to the promise. So you have a double entendre here in the passage that Paul is explicating. On the one hand, Abraham only has one seed, not seeds plural, but seed singular. On the other hand, by the time you get to the end of the chapter, you find out that if you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. So if you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham. This has nothing to do with gender, has nothing to do with genealogy, has nothing to do with your station in life. If you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham. You are an heir according to the promise. That means that you are a child who has been adopted and therefore an heir of the riches that God has promised to his people. And so we have a mystery that through the gospel, even the Gentiles, along with Israel, are members together of one body, sharers together of the promise in Jesus Christ. And just as there is a first advent, I think it's always important to recognize that there will be a second, or maybe better put, a final advent. So we focus on Christ coming in flesh in the first advent as we celebrate Christmas. But that too is the focus of the second advent. Jesus Christ will come again in flesh, for he is forever the Anthropos, the God-man. But this time, he's not going to come, well, as a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. This time, he will come as a bridegroom. He will carry his bride over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem. And so as Canaan provided temporal rest for the physical descendants of Abraham, the coming Christ will provide eternal rest for his spiritual descendants. I'm talking about you. In the final advent, the land promises that God made to Abraham will be fully and finally consummated. Why? Because paradise lost will become paradise restored. And as such, Canaan is typological of a renewed cosmos. So Abraham, like Isaac, like Jacob, they viewed living in the promised land in much the same way that a stranger would view living in a foreign country. And there's a reason for that. It's because, as the writer of Hebrews makes plain, he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So Abram looked beyond binding borders. He looked beyond boundaries to a day in which the meek will inherit the earth. And that's precisely what will happen when Jesus appears a second time. This universe will be transformed, and we too will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorrupted. And in that incorruptible state, we will forever explore the glories and the grandeur of the one who saved us by his grace, the one who is ineffable, unknowable, and yet knowable in incarnation, which we will celebrate in just a few days. Coming up to station break, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
In his newest book, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, Oz Guinness provides a stirring vision for faithful citizenship and renewed responsibility for a nation in need and a world that is watching. Stand with the Christian Research Institute and Bible Answer Man broadcast during the key month of December to ensure that CRI's supply lines remain open into 2019. And receive a copy of Last Call for Liberty for yourself or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. This, then, is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation. His last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
Will the torch of freedom be handed to someone else or be extinguished altogether? These are the opening words to what may be one of the most important books of our time. If you care about American liberties and the future of our nation, Last Call for Liberty by Oz Guinness is an absolute must-read. Few issues are more fundamental than our most basic liberties, and those liberties are under attack like never before. The good news is that this dangerous direction need not be our destiny, but only if those concerned are willing to act in time. To receive your copy of Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, visit equip.org and make a gift in support of the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Benny in Loeb, Arizona, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Benny.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I got a question, and I can barely hear you on my earpiece. I'm driving a truck right now. But I just want to ask the question, and then I'm going to go to the radio. I'll just go to the radio so I can get your answer so
sure.
I can hear you better. But the question was, is what does the Bible say about suicide? I've heard, you know, your body's a temple. And I read the Bible. Your body's a temple of God. And then I've also spoken to chaplains out on these truck stops, and they've told me that, you know, God's love is eternal and that nothing can take you from the hand of God. One theory is you're going to hell. The other one is, you know, that God's love and mercy and all that. That if you accepted him in your life, you know, and meant it at that time, then, you know, you're still going to heaven. So that's what I want to know what Scripture says.
Sure.
That's what I want.
Yeah. So the answer to that question, thank you, Benny, the answer to that question is that suicide is the murder of oneself. And in that sense, it is a direct violation of the sixth commandment, which says, you shall not murder. So if one commits suicide, they're committing a direct attack on the sovereignty of the very one who knit them together in their mother's womb. So on the one hand, it becomes unthinkable that anyone who takes the sacred name of Christ upon their lips would commit suicide. However, and I think this is a large however, there are people in moments of despondency that do things which are altogether out of character, altogether inconsistent with their belief system. And so I think we have to say in relevance to the Scripture, in maybe I should say fairness to the Scripture, no single act is unforgivable according to the Scripture. The unforgivable sin is a continuous, an ongoing rejection of the forgiveness that could be yours. So those who refused forgiveness through Christ, they're going to spend eternity separated from Christ's love and from his grace. Conversely, those who sincerely desire forgiveness can be absolutely certain that God will never spurn them. So what's the point? The point is, while suicide is not an unforgivable sin, and those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips dare not contemplate suicide. And the reason, once again, is that our lives belong to God, and he alone has the prerogative to bring them to an end. So we should never take a prerogative that is the prerogative of God alone and take that prerogative upon ourselves. So we can never cast a cavalier eye toward the pandemic of suicide. And the reason I say it's a pandemic is that it is now the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. Think about that. 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. And it's one of the three leading causes that are actually on a precipitous rise. So again, important that as Christians, we do not kill ourselves because this is the prerogative of the Lord. All the days ordained for us, written in his book before one of them came to be. We also cannot say it's unforgivable sin in that there are people that do something in a moment of despondency, and therefore we leave those people in the hands of an infinitely loving and infinitely just God. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Sean in Denver, Colorado. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? I just want to say thank you for what you're doing. You've been informing me and a lot of people out there on just the truth of God's word.
Well, thank you.
And I just want to comment a little bit on the suicide thing, because I've heard people, I am a believer, you know, I accept it correctly. I don't tell anyone that they're necessarily going to hell, but I tell them to look at scriptures too, because Jesus said, trust me, believe in me, and have faith in me. And he also said, you know, he said, yeah, just let me be your life, you know. And when a person commits suicide, they're saying, I can't deal with this problem, whatever it is, which is understandable. But they're also, it's almost like they're saying too, God, I don't even trust you. And Jesus said, you know, yeah, just trust me. I mean, you're going to go through some tough stuff, but I'll get you through.
I think your point is well taken, Sean, and I think, too, that oftentimes people are addressing this question outside the context of the body of Christ. In a perfect situation, someone who is in a time of despondency will have people to whom they are accountable within the context of the spiritual gymnasium, and therefore they will have a solace for their soul. They're not alone. They're not isolated. All too often, however, in the modern context, we have individualist Christians. They're me and my Bible, and I don't need my church. I don't need the body of Christ. But the Bible knows nothing of that whatsoever. Now, having said all of that, I think it's important once again to emphasize that suicide is not the unforgivable sin in that what the unforgivable sin is a continuous willful rejection.
Yes. Well, it's just nice to hear you mention that, because I said I hear some people saying, well, you know, he'll forgive, which God can forgive him, but we have to look at his word. Jesus said, trust me. He said, believe in me. And you know, if we're letting things get to us so much, we're not trusting him. We're just letting things take over instead of letting him take over, so to say.
Yeah, well said. And again, as I said earlier, suicide is the murder of oneself and therefore a direct violation of the sixth commandment. And therefore, no one who takes the sacred name of Christ upon their lips should contemplate such a thing.
Hey, thank you, sir. Again, thank you for what you're doing. You're informing a lot of people, myself, and just on the truth of the word, and you're helping us to stand up. Thank you.
Bless you,
Sean. Praying for you about your sickness thing, your cancer thing. Praying for you there.
Thank you so much, and God has been gracious. I am in remission, and for that I thank God. I just did a podcast with Jack Graham. He's the pastor of Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas, near Dallas, and we were talking about how God has been so gracious to me, how so many people have prayed for me, and how God has graciously allowed me to experience remission. We're also talking on the podcast. And by the way, if you don't get the Hank Unplugged podcast, you want to go to equip.org or wherever you consume podcasts and look for Hank Unplugged. I can promise you, you will be blessed by the podcast. It's absolutely incredible when I look at the 5-star ratings that are coming in. They're quite literally an avalanche. And someone recently said with a 5-star rating, this is a side of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and Hank, that I have been waiting for. Thanks, Hank. Well, the reason the podcast has been so popular is I promise, as part of the mission statement, to bring the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet to your earbuds. And so it is the guests that make the podcast. But we were talking with Jack about angels. The first and highest place on the ladder of created beings is occupied by angels who have a transcendently important influence in our lives. Even though they're invisible, they are real. So we have to ask, what do we know about angels? How do they come to exist? Are they all of equal stature? What is their purposes? And we often neglect talking about angels because we neglect the Word of God. If you look at the Word of God, you'll realize immediately that cherubim guarded the entrance of paradise in the very first book of the Bible. Of course, I was talking about the first Advent, which we will celebrate in a few days, and angels heralded the birth of Christ at the apex of Scripture. And then in the very last chapter of the very last book, an angel shows John the river of the water of life. And in between? Well, in between there are literally hundreds of references to angels. Angels who surpass human beings by their spiritual powers, but are nonetheless created, that bear within themselves, therefore, the seal of limitation. We cannot say that they exist entirely independent of space or place, nor can we say that they are present everywhere. So what can we say about angels? Again, that podcast is going to be available in a few weeks, but many other podcasts are accessible right now at equip.org, or again, wherever you consume your favorite podcasts. And if you love the podcast, go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. And as we close the broadcast, I want to say thank you for all who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference in the lives of people all over the planet. God bless you. May God richly reward you, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Out of time, so long. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
America is running out of time. Our republic is suffering the biggest crisis since the Civil War, with competing visions of freedom pushing us to the precipice of cultural self-destruction, and the roots of the crisis run deeper than many realize. In his new book, Last Call for Liberty, Oz Guinness explains that America has become a house divided, and Americans must make up their minds as to which freedom to follow. Will the constitutional republic be restored or replaced? Guinness provides a stirring vision for faithful citizenship and renewed responsibility for a nation in need and a world that is watching. To receive your copy of Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.